I trust that each one had a blessed Thanksgiving. There's much yet to be thankful for. And the songwriter said, thanks for all that you have done. How often do you think about what God has done for you? Each person has had some experiences where God has shown His blessings, His mercy, His goodness. So you have much to be thankful for. I was pondering a few days ago that I am thankful too. Thankful that God saw fit to not destroy man. Thankful that He did send His Son to die upon the cross. Thankful that He shed His blood. And yet, as you consider it, it doesn't stop there. Not only did He shed it, but as the songwriter said, the blood that Jesus shed there on Calvary, it will never lose its power. So the Lord, when He sent His Son, established it in such a way that even though you and I have come along hundreds of years after the fact, we still have the blessed privilege of being able to be washed in His blood, to be made free from all sin and unrighteousness, to be able to call upon Him as one of His children, to see Him as Father, to see Him as someone who can meet every need that we have. And then to be able to experience Him actually fulfilling that and carrying it out in our lives. I thought about, and sometimes have thought many times about, there are many things that the world uses to clean things up. And you find that after a while, it begins to lose its power. You find with some things, it doesn't take very long at all before it's lost its ability to clean. But this blood that the Lord shed on Calvary, upon that old rugged cross, still has the ability to clean the deepest stain. Still has the ability to cleanse man in many ways. And we should all be thankful for what God has done through His Son. The 9th chapter of Hebrews, the 11th verse, says, but Christ being come, and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from the dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon, neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people, according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. I am thankful that God sent his Son to shed his blood. Everything else would be null and void had that not happened. And as you and I look upon it, we should have a deep appreciation for the sacrifice that was made. I still think about the psalmist. He said, "Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Recognize what God has done." When you realize the awesomeness of it, when you realize the blessedness of the sacrifice that Christ made, when you're able to grasp a hold of the fact that it wasn't some great deed done for somebody else, but it was done for you and for me, then it should cause us to have a real reverent and a real deep fear for this God who made such a supreme sacrifice. It causes us to consider the love that he has. And as they said, you and I should be found running for our lives because he has opened up that way through his blood. He has provided what all mankind stood in need of. There was no other way for us to escape the clutches of sin. But even as he brought out here, Christ being made that high priest of good things to come, he established something that was not built by man's hands. Amen. That temple back in Moses' time had been built by man under God's directions. Moses called them to come to the ceremony and they killed many animals and shed the blood. And it was sprinkled upon various articles there, the tabernacle and even the people, to designate their consecration and that they were to get into connection with God. But as you and I come along the way, we had not the benefit of that. Nevertheless, Christ came and he established a new testament, a new covenant with all mankind, that if you'll accept and embrace this blood, if you'll realize what God has given and extended unto you and me, then we can receive that eternal inheritance. You look upon it and he said, almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Most of the things back in that time were sanctified, were consecrated, were purged, were dedicated to the Lord by blood in some way. Some things were only brought to that point by water under God's direction. But here he lets us know without shedding of blood, there was no remission. There could be no pardon, no forgiveness had not Christ paid that supreme sacrifice. And you and I should take note of that as we go along the way. You think back to when Adam and Eve fell there in the garden. One of the first things you find is that God made some clothes out of the skin of animals. Some animal had to give its life for them to be covered. And it's still yet the same in this day and time. You consider, even in Moses' time, as I just said, that there were many animals that gave their life, that were the blood was taken to establish that this place and these articles and everything else involved in the service of the Lord at that point was to be dedicated unto him by that. But when it came down to what God fully intended for man to receive the benefit of, giving forth the blood of lambs and of goats and of heifers could not suffice and would not pay the supreme sacrifice. It was done and man might begin to learn and understand that there is a great consequence of sin. And even when you think about it, that these innocent animals had done no wrong, yet someone had given them and their life was taken. And I've thought, as you consider that, that even in this day and time, how have you ever felt when some innocent animal was slain? We don't think about it too much when we're eating, but you've had those animals that were pets and maybe they came to lose their life in some way. How did that make you feel? And I consider that even in their time, in the time of the tabernacle, all of those sacrifices that were made, somewhere within their heart should have been a feeling of understanding that these animals, innocent of what I've done, They are giving their life. I'm giving them to be sacrificed. It is not me that is suffering the pain of the loss in that sacrifice, but I'm giving the life of something else that is innocent and is losing its life in my behalf to fulfill what God required of them at that time. So it was with Jesus Christ. Innocent in every sense of the word that you and I can imagine and grasp a hold of. Yet He gave His life that you and I might be reconciled to God. Shed His blood that you and I might be cleansed, might be redeemed, might be brought back and made nigh unto Him. You and I should have a sense and a feeling of someone who innocently gave their life for us in this day and time. How have you felt? I'm sure some have experienced it, and I'm sure some as children have done it. You ever been in that place where you did something that you know was wrong, but your parents thought somebody else did it, and they got in trouble for it, and you kept quiet? You ever had that experience? Some of you have, I'm sure. Probably most all of us have. Where we know we did the wrong, and we know the parents somehow became convinced one of our other brothers or sisters or cousins performed that deed, and we stayed quiet while they took the punishment. How'd you feel about that? Not very good, did you? But because you knew what was coming, you're too afraid to just speak on up and say, I did it. But you know something? Jesus paid that price for you and for me. And it should cause us to feel something down inside to see that His blood was required. Yes, God set forth that plan long before you and I came to walk upon the face of this earth. But He had every soul in mind when He set forth that plan. So you and I are just as responsible as those who were walking upon the face of the earth when He was crucified upon Calvary. But yet consider that price has been paid, and it should cause us to feel the debt that we owe as we move along this pathway of life. The writer there in the third chapter of John gave that familiar passage that you've heard time and time again, and you've quoted it yourself, no doubt, many times. The 16th verse, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." He has not believed, he has not accepted the sacrifice that God made. And is in doing so, there's no other remedy, there's no other way that person can be saved. They must accept what God has provided. They must realize that this blood was shed for you and me, that God gave His only Son. And in looking at that, it is through that kind of an act, that expression of love, that you and I can come to trust this Almighty God. That you and I can come to realize that He does care about us in this day and time. That He's doing all that He can to help us in this day and time. Many things are coming up in the world today to turn people away from the sacrifice of God. There are those even in the church world, they say, let's just take every reference about the blood out of it. Because when you think about the blood, you have to consider someone gave their life, and people don't like to look at it in that way, and they want to turn away from it. But when you take the blood of Jesus out of this plan of salvation, what do you have left? You have nothing. You and I must consider this love. We sing that song sometimes, "Behold, what love." Yes, love divine. You and I, when we look upon it, consider, He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave and He paid the ultimate price, gave the ultimate sacrifice, gave something that I believe touched him very deeply while Jesus was in agony there in the garden, while he was in agony up on the cross, until he said it is finished and that the plan is completed. You and I must take a look at the cross, must realize the impact that it makes upon us. It will only allow it to do so that when you consider he has shed his blood. How do you feel sometimes when you are traveling and you see the cross there on the side of the highway? What does that cause you to think about? Somebody lost their life. But you know, long before people began putting up those crosses to signify that, there was the cross upon Calvary. And it still lets us know that someone gave their life. But now we can drive by and you can feel for the family that lost those loved ones there at that particular spot. But yet consider, when Jesus died upon the cross, that was a loss for you and for me. You and I need to consider what God has done for us, the love that He has extended and shown, the price that He has paid. I thought about an incident I read here not too long ago. There was a group of Navy SEALs over in Iraq in battle. And it's said that this one particular soldier was hit in the chest by a grenade, but it didn't go off right then. And the writer said that the men who were with him, and they were in a little bunker, saw him. He just immediately fell on top of that grenade and covered it with his body. You know, he lost his life. Some of them were injured as a result of it, but none of them lost their life. Had he not done so, I'm sure that at least a few of them would have, besides himself. He didn't have time to try to react and throw it back out, so he just covered it and cradled it with his body, and he gave his life. And they said one of the men who saw that, who was there in that situation, made the comment that we owe him something. But you know, it'll be up to them to make that determination as to what they'll do to honor his life that he gave for them. When you look at the sacrifice that Jesus made, do you find yourself feeling that you owe him something? The songwriter said, I ought to love my Savior. He loved me so long ago. Even though I wasn't here. And people nowadays can try to be so distant. And, well, that was for somebody else. That wasn't for me right here. Perhaps if Jesus had came and He was here today and He gave His life, maybe I'd feel like it was for me. But you know, that won't cause it to be so. You and I have to look and consider the love that God has extended to us, the life that Jesus lived and the blood that He shed for us. And if we can take that to heart, and even as one songwriter said, if we can see it with our heart and quit looking with our eyes, if we can sense it and feel it deep down within, we'll be able to recognize that we owe Him a debt as well. And that debt is to give Him our life. 1 Peter, 1st chapter, 17th verse. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead, and gave Him glory, that your faith and your hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Yes. Here as we look upon this, you and I were not redeemed by silver and gold. God did not use money to buy us back. Did not give the possessions of the world to get us back to Him. When you think about the price that He paid, you and I must consider that if you call on this Father, this God, who has no respect of person, He judges every man according to that man, that woman, that boy, that girl's work, according to what they do as a result of knowing what He has done for them. When we consider that that is how we will be judged, you and I should then pass our time upon this earth in fear. We should have a reverence for God and awe of God to the extent that we don't want to displease Him. We should have a reverence and an awe for God to the extent that when we look at what He has done for us, we are then willing to realize and understand that we must do that which is reasonable and right in God's sight. And in fact, it is reasonable and right in man's sight. This man who said, this other one gave his life for them, they realize that we owe him something. It's reasonable to expect that. What can we do to show that his life was not given in vain? How can we live through the rest of our days to establish that we're doing whatever it is that they feel they must do to show that we respect and honor him giving his life for us? And doing it without hesitation, doing it without second thought, and yet knew that when he did that, he would lose his life and could only hope he would prevent the loss of others. You and I, when we consider the blood that Jesus has shed for us, how can we not conclude that it is only right that I live my life for Him to show that the life that He lived and gave up, the blood that He shed, was not shed in vain. Whether everybody else does so or not. And we're in a time where people want to find the loopholes and the ways to go about it so that it's easier for me to do what I want to do. But you think about it. Can these men, after this man gave his life to protect them, can they honestly go through life and feel like, well, I'm just kind of getting by. I won't be the upstanding person that I've been trained to be. I won't do the things that I need to do that would bring honor to his life. Can they truly get by with that? No, they can't. And you and I can't either. May the Lord help us. He said here that he will judge every man's work. But as much as you know, you're not redeemed with those corruptible things. We have some understanding. We may not be, as some people say, the sharpest knife in the drawer. But we have some understanding that Jesus shed His blood for you and for me. We have some understanding that He gave His life and it was for all mankind. And that does include us as we walk upon the face of this earth. We understand some of these things. And we also realize, as He says here, you are not redeemed with this from your vain conversation. That life that was not really in accordance with God's will. Those things that you followed instead of God's will. You are not redeemed from that. You're not being bought back from that by these earthly things that people can sometimes just lightly look over and finally get to where they don't want to pay much attention to. But He said, you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish, without spot. When you think about this precious blood, what does it do for you? Have you thought much about that along the way? What does the blood of Jesus do for you? What did He say there in Revelations about those overcoming? They overcame by what? The blood of the Lamb. And the word of their testimony. The blood that provided the testimony that they're able to give of living a life that is pleasing in God's sight. Yeah. The writer there in John said that the blood of Jesus does what? From all sin. It cleanses you from all sin. And He said in Revelation, He washed us in His blood those that have come unto Him. And the invitation is for all to come unto Him and be washed in His blood. You look upon it, and He says that we were redeemed by His blood. We've been bought with a price. We've been purchased. God has put forth His plan. If I could say it, maybe in this life, it'd be kind of like you going somewhere and somebody's in need of something and you just went in and maybe you bought everything in the grocery store, paid for all of it, and then said, those who are willing to come in and accept this freely, you leave the doors open so they can come in and partake of it. That's what He did for you and me. He bought us and He paid the price long ago, even before we had an opportunity to accept it. This same blood makes us nigh, it draws us nigh unto God, reconciles us with Him to where we can be in communion with Him and we can have an intimate relationship with God and not just say that I know God, but actually have an experience in this life where we find that He blesses us in our daily walk to the extent that others can look upon it and realize that is one of God's people. Don't know anything about them. Never seen them before. But there's something about that person and their demeanor that says they've been at the feet of Jesus. He brings us nigh to where we can experience that. And He blesses us with it. And many times we take it for granted. This same blood brings us peace. I'm still trying to keep in touch with my brother. And I asked him last night, well, how's it going? He said, oh, I'm just peaceful. I'm just peaceful. I'm just glad for the peace. This blood brings forth peace. It causes us to be reconciled with God where He's not our enemy anymore. And we're not His enemy anymore. And the enmity has been taken out and replaced by that love and that calm assurance and the blessing that we've been washed and made whole by the blood of the Lamb. Think about it as you go along in a daily walk. You've been out there perhaps working. Out there where all the dust and the dirt is. Feeling the grime all over, but how does that person feel when they're finally able to get home and take that bath or that long warm shower? How do they feel when they come out of there? They feel so much better at that point in time. How does it feel when you're able to get up at times and clean up the house and have it looking clean and refreshed? How does that make you feel? How does it make you feel when you can go to somebody else's house and you can see it is clean and they invite you to partake of that which they have? How does it cause you to feel? Oh, when you think about it, the blood purges us and it cleanses and it causes us to enjoy how we feel when we're clean. Because then we know that we are a child of the King. Yes. Know that our robes have been washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb. Know that the very stain of sin has been taken out. All you think about it, there are sometimes when people have their garments and maybe it got a stain on it, but they're trying to get it clean. Maybe it's their favorite garment or it's their favorite color. They don't want to just throw it away and get rid of it. And you find them expending all kind of effort trying to clean out that spot. Get to the point where they try so desperately to clean it that they begin to wear out the fabric trying to get it clean. And they may finally just feel like, well, I just have to cast it aside. Some will say, well, I won't do that. I'll wear something else over it so nobody will see it. So it will still be covered up. But you know, this blood cleanses all stains.
Yes.
And He can cleanse it through and through. You know, sometimes you can clean something and you almost can't tell it's there. And you figure, well, most people that don't know it was there, they won't notice. But you still notice. You can still tell that it's there. But when it comes to washing in the blood of the Lamb, all of that is taken away. We become new by the Lord's help. And the Lord has given us the opportunity. Even as that songwriter said, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. But that blood, as you think about it, from the typical mind, anything that natural blood gets on, it stains. But this blood cleanses and purges out and causes the person to be able to realize that I'm a clean person now. All of this stuff has passed away. And I can go on in the newness of life. Have peace in my heart. Realize I've been brought nigh to Christ as we go along this pathway of life. You know, how many times do people try to get close to the celebrities and the movie stars? How many of them try to shake their hand or touch them in some kind of way just so they can say they've had contact with some famous person? Maybe I've told you before, but one of my co-workers, her mother was from England originally, and so she has a number of relatives over there, and they came over to the States here a few years ago, and they all decided that after they'd flown into Wichita, they would travel to Las Vegas. She says, well, we're going to go and we're going to listen to Tom Jones sing. And I thought, well, I've heard of him before, and years ago he was pretty popular. I've heard some of his songs. And then she made this comment and said that her and her cousin had front row seats. They'd already bought tickets. And she said her hope was that because he puts on a good show and he puts a lot of energy in it, he sweats a lot, they were hoping, they knew they couldn't reach up and touch him, but they were hoping that some of his sweat would land on him. And I thought, well, I can see being on the front row seat, but I don't think I would have been looking for that. But then I've thought about it in times past. You consider other people that were popular like that. How many times have you found people hoping and wishing and striving and even reaching out hoping that this person would touch them? You know something? We have something here far better. This Lord and Savior has shed His blood that you and I might be able to touch Him. Now you have the Queen of England. You're not supposed to touch her. They say that's the etiquette with the king, with the queen, is you're not supposed to touch her. But she came over here to the States here not too awful long ago. And they took her somewhere, I don't remember now where the city was, but they introduced her to an older black woman. And you know how we are as people. When they brought the queen to her place, and they introduced her to the queen, what did she do? She reached out and hugged her. And some of them were aghast. Oh, she's not supposed to touch the queen. But she didn't pay that no mind. Some of them, they say, even tried to let them know, you're not supposed to touch the queen. She didn't pay any of that any mind. Just, you know, gave her one of them hugs. Embraced her. The queen didn't hardly know how to act. You can see from the expression in the picture, she didn't quite know how to react herself. But you know, Jesus has shed His blood that you and I might be able to fully embrace Him. He's not aloof. He's not far off. He's done so much for us through His blood. And you and I need to be thankful for that. And we need to express our thanks by the way we live upon this earth. You think about the Israelites. When it came time for them to leave Egypt, they were to take that Passover lamb and shed its blood and put the blood upon the doorpost and the mantle. That way, when the death angel came, he would see the blood had been applied and I am to pass over this house. It's protected. You know, God wanted them to remember that time, and so He called upon them to revisit and re-experience that time frame. So each year at a certain time, they would serve, pick out a lamb 4 days before the time of the sacrifice, and then they would make that sacrifice at the right time and recognize this was when God delivered us out of Egypt. But you know something? There came a time when Jesus was going forth to die upon the cross. They were to take this lamb 4 days before the sacrifice, set it aside, and then on that fourth day at a certain time, make that sacrifice. And that was to typify the Lord dying for you and for me. When the Lord went to Jerusalem, knowing that He was going to die upon the cross, He went to Jerusalem 4 days before He died upon the cross. And at the time, the set time that the Passover lamb was to be sacrificed, He died upon the cross. He was the fulfillment of what they experienced there in Egypt. And they are to remember that. And you and I are to remember the price that He paid. That God in His wisdom and in His authority, and yet not walking over the will of man, yet brought the final, ultimate Passover lamb and caused Him to die at the proper time. You see the love that God has for you? The way He fulfilled His word? The care that He took, as the writer said, not one jot or one tittle has been missed. Every detail, everything to establish that His blood was shed for you and for me, God has taken care of to show His supreme love to you and to me. He did that. And you know something? There's still yet a part that we have to take care of too. They had to make the effort to apply that blood. In Luke, the 23rd chapter, starting with the 39th verse. And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on Him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive
the reward of our deeds.
Yes.
Had
done nothing amiss.
And He said unto Jesus,
said unto Jesus,
remember me.
Yes.
And Jesus said unto him,
Verily,
I say unto thee,
today
shalt thou be with me in paradise.
Thank you. Today. Now, we have two people there. Both have the same opportunity. Both were wretched men. Had done whatever they did, been caught, convicted, now they're dying, and they're dying, as one of them says, justly for what they had done. But one of them, all he's thinking about is right there at the moment, if you are really Christ, save yourself and save us too. Get us out of here. And the other one questioned him, stopped him, and asked him, Do you not fear God? You recognize the situation you're in? And right down here to the very end, I'll put it this way, man, you're about to die.
Yeah.
And you don't have enough fear of God to realize you need to get squared away with your Maker. And you're railing on this man. You're mocking him. You're accusing him. You're doubting him. What has he done to you? And then he turned, well, I say turned, he was looking past Christ because Christ was in the midst of him. He was looking past Christ when he was talking to the one man. Now he turns his attention to Christ and he says, Lord, remember me. In effect, he was acknowledging that Jesus was the Savior, that Jesus was the Messiah, that Jesus was, as John the Baptist said, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. And he could have done like Jesus' disciples. They said, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, we want to be on your right hand and on your left hand. We want the chairs of honor, Lord. Will you give that to us? But all this thief had to say, Lord, remember me. Whatever it is that you can do for me, Lord, remember me. Lord, if somehow you can see fit to deal with me right here, I acknowledge that you are the Lord. I realize whatever it was about Jesus, somehow he came to see it. Maybe he heard about some of the things that Christ had done. Maybe he did not. But somehow at that point, he saw and he recognized what all of the Jews at that point didn't seem to recognize. That this is the Son of God. This is the Savior. And I do have a respect. I have a fear. I have an awe of God. Lord, will you remember me? And the Lord stopped. Told him, today, you'll be with me in paradise. Didn't get him off of the cross. Didn't stop him from being killed. Many times when we get saved, we want God to stop everything that we did wrong and all the consequences that come as a result of it. Lord, just wipe it away and just forget about it. And Lord, you're so loving and kind. He didn't do that for him. Amen. And he won't do it for you and me. In most instances, we still have to deal with the consequences that come from the choices that we have made. But Jesus told him, today, you'll be with me in paradise. And if we apply to his blood, even though we may have to encounter the consequences of the choices we made in this life, today we can still be drawn nigh unto God, can be near the Lord to where he can help us and give us grace to go through this life and still yet realize that even though I may have to meet the consequences of my choices in this life, yet I'm still in a place where God is blessing me and working for me and sanctifying these things for my soul that I can safely make it in. You know, what do you think about? We have different ones suffering amongst us. Suffering great. Some are somewhat stoic about it. They just keep putting one foot in front of the other, but they're suffering still the same. What do you learn from all of that? What do you think about all of that? Maybe they should go and get something done. They don't have to suffer like that. They could do this, that, or the other. What is it that you think about it? But you see, while he was suffering there on the tree, Jesus' ultimate design and purpose was to save his soul. And when you look upon that, you consider, this man at that point in time saw and recognized Christ and acknowledged him for who he was. And he said, remember me. My point in all of that is this. Some of us haven't come to that place. And if you really look up on it, you can also see at times that suffering can be so great that you can't really focus in like that. So when should you and I find ourselves focusing in on the blood and what it does for us? Right now. Right now. To where he can work in us. And those things that he wants to get out, he can get out. Those things that he wants to put in, he can put in. Those places where he wants to cleanse us, he can cleanse us and relieve us from those things and deliver us from them. Those places where he wants to draw us closer to him, he can do that. To where when we come down to that pathway and we meet those places of suffering, we'll have something within us where when the suffering crushes our life, others will be able to see the grace that comes forth from living this life. Others will be able to see the power of that kind of life that came from being washed in the blood of the Lamb, having been made whole in him, and having been able to walk close to him throughout our daily walk of life. You and I still must do as they did. The time is coming. The death angel will pass through. You must put the blood upon your doorposts and your mantle. You and I must do the same and put it upon our heart. That when those trials and tests come along the way, we won't feel the full brunt of them. We may have to deal with them because, again, there's some consequences from Adam and Eve having fallen into sin. And you and I are dealing with that even in this day and time. But we can still yet find a place where you have a refuge. You can find a place where his blood brings forth strength. You think about your own blood. It brings forth life. It cleanses the body. It fights against disease. It does a number of things that you and I take for granted and don't think much about. Nevertheless, the blood of Jesus does that and much more. And it gives us life. It cleanses us. If we will allow it to work, it will protect us and it will keep us. Satan will always try to bring forth something to infect you with. But it doesn't have to be so. And in those places, sometimes it may be a great struggle and a great battle. No doubt you've been in some places where you had some infection in your body, some virus in your body, and you found out that it was waging war mightily, and you felt the effects of it being sick, and maybe not hardly even to get along or hardly even to go, and sometimes just had to stay in bed all day and all night and all day the next day. And yet finally, by the Lord's help and blessing, you begin to get a little better and a little better. Your blood was striving to protect. It was striving to fight and preserve life. The blood of Jesus does the same for you and me. But we have to have it applied to our heart. We have to put in our own request. The thief on the cross, Lord, remember me. Three words that contain such great sincerity. Such great reverence. And God remembered him, and his son told him, "You'll be with me." We have to find our way of saying, "Lord, remember me. Lord, help me. Lord, save me. Lord, bless in my behalf. Help me out in this time. Lord, cause me to walk the way you would have me to walk," whatever it might be. The Lord is able to do that. But you and I have to put in for it. You and I have to make that effort to apply it to our heart, our mind, our soul. And it protects us to the extent that even though we have it applied, it does not mean that Satan won't come back and try to tell you you didn't get it. It wasn't applied right. You've seen some times where you can apply some cleaners and they don't just function just right. You got to follow directions. So it is with God's blood. But you know something? It protects you. Sometimes you find yourself battling Satan and his accusations, and he'll tell you, "You didn't get it, you didn't this, you didn't the other." And about all you can tell him is, "Go back and look. It's up under the blood. Go back and look. It's there up under the blood." And he can go back and look, and he won't see anything there. Because the blood has washed it away and consumed it. Think about it. The price that Jesus paid. And it was paid for you. It was paid for me. It's a personal thing. And we should take it to heart. And have great thanks. And even as he told that thief, "Do you not fear God? Where is your awe? Where is your reverence?" And even the scripture in Hebrews lets us know, past the time of your sojourning here in fear, to know that that kind of price has been paid for you. May the Lord help us. We desire you praise.